Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, your frontline defense against identity theft. We're all about prevention. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org. Use the code FSN2 and you can get started now. And welcome. You are listening to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. And with me now is Pat Crow. He's COO of KeepMyID.org and one of our favorites, Heather Wagenhals. She's an expert in identity theft. She's got some kind of certification, but I can never remember what it is. Heather, how are you?
I've got the Cool Chick certification.
Oh, that one, right. And Patrick is a former military intelligence, and he's got a bunch of other stuff that I'm not allowed to say because he'll have to shoot me. But Patrick, hey, there's a lot going on in the identity theft realm these days. We just heard about a massive breach of none other than my personal favorite government agency. I think you might have heard of them. They're known as the IRS. You guys heard about that?
Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, and that's precisely why Uncle Sam is not my favorite relative.
For good reason. So, Patrick, fill us in exactly what happened here.
Yeah, Carrie, what happened was that the IRS lost control of several thousand taxpayers' returns, and those were downloaded by an entity coming out of Russia, you know, the organized crime capital of the world. And you know, who knows what they're going to do with that information now that it's out there. As we all know, that your tax return contains all the stuff someone needs to open a mortgage in your name, to go get a driver's license. It's one of those gold standard identity documents. So how that's going to affect people is too early to tell. And the IRS, historically, you know, they've been working on it, but they've been very slow to issue some type of identity verification and a PIN system or a dual system authentication, which is what we've counseled with them before in the past and told them they needed to go to that as soon as they could.
Well, I was going to say better late than never, but 200,000 people, they attempted to steal their identity and they were successful on 104,000. Hey, if they were in baseball, Heather, they would be getting the big bucks, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's quite the batting average, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. So, Heather, you've been a victim of a similar, your husband was, similar type of income tax fraud, and it ain't too pretty, is it?
No, and it creates a whole lot of problems. So if we think in terms of you wanting to buy a significant asset, so let's say you're going to buy a house and you want to apply for a mortgage, or you want to get a car loan and you want to finance it for 5 or 6 years, people pull your credit to do that. And with mortgages, mortgage underwriters will not allow a loan to close if you have levies against you. And one of the things that we have is this silly little $4,000 tax lien from someone who filed taxes under my husband's taxpayer ID number, and it's taking right now an act of God so far, still hasn't been able to get it off his credit, and we always have to underwrite around it. And what that does is that causes you to have to pay higher interest rates because it makes you an underwriting risk. Even if you have all the documentation in the world to substantiate your innocence, it doesn't matter because the system, unfortunately, says that on your credit, it's 100% your responsibility to determine that the information contained in your credit profile is accurate.
Yeah, and right now we have a system for issuing mortgages. You might have heard about it. It's called knee-jerk underwriting. And you fill in these little boxes, and it doesn't matter whether the information's correct or not. If the boxes are filled in and this box gets checked, whether it's true or not, like in your case, it's false, but the box got checked, you get screwed.
Right. And it's unfortunate because, you know, one of the things that so many people today work hard to do is to preserve their good name. And your credit is a reflection of your character. How well you've paid your bills in the past is a good indicator of how you will pay them in the future. And we count on that when we are conscientious to get us the best interest rates and the lowest insurance premiums and the cleanest background checks when we go for job.
Right. So you've heard about keepmyid.org. What did you think about it when you heard about it, Heather?
I thought, thank goodness that there's somebody out there that still wants to help you freeze your credit because, you know, it's so simple for us to do it. But what do we talk about on my radio program, brain-based financial literacy? We already know to spend less and save more, but we don't because it's painful. It takes time. We got to sit down. We got to write out the letters. We got to buy a stamp because who knows anything anyway. And now, you know, the Keep My ID folks have created a way that you can freeze your credit through them legally and have it out off your plate and out of your hair, and it gives you peace of mind, and you didn't have to go through all of the malarkey of taking care of it yourself.
Right. I mean, literally, you could do a lot of medical procedures yourself as well. I mean, I knew a doctor one time who self-administered a vasectomy, but it's not really the kind of thing. I swear to God, I met this guy. I don't think I'd want him to do it to me, but he was an MD. It's just not the kind of thing that you really want to do yourself, because dealing with the big three credit bureaus is not a real pleasant experience, and you've dealt with them. You know that, Heather.
I had a credit repair company for many years. So, I mean, I know exactly what it is. I mean, it's another slow-moving bureaucratic machine, and it's, you know, and being automated in the 21st century hasn't really helped them much.
Yeah, well, they're automated in Jamaica, right? Right, Pat? I mean, they send your stuff to Jamaica to go process.
And actually, part of the problem with the IRS breach was that they were using the identity verification services that the credit bureaus sell to the government to verify people's identities. So that information is already out there. And, you know, what's on your credit report protecting that is getting to the point where that's not enough to keep someone from impersonating you.
Yeah, they use that L3 verification. And sometimes I get that wrong. Nothing annoys me more. They ask, like, what's your mortgage payment? Is it between this number and that? Have you ever lived on this street? Did you ever own this car? And I answer the darn questions right, and they still shut me down. It's really annoying. But evidently, if you're a Russian hacker, it's no barrier for you to answer correctly. They've got the answers already because it's an algorithm, obviously, and they crack the algorithm. So, Pat, you know, the government, the IRS is gratuitously offering the victims, not the 100,000 people who didn't get crashed, but the 100,000, 104,000 people who actually did wind up having their transcripts hacked. They're offering them monitoring service. That's really not enough, is it?
No, monitoring is just going to tell them that they've been ripped off after something's happened to them. They'll get an email that or an alert on their phone that say, you know, was this you? And their answer will be no. And then they'll be trying to repair their credit or fight with their bank. Banks are pretty good, and large phone companies are pretty good about dealing with it, absorbing the cost. But smaller companies and some larger companies, especially healthcare companies, are not that enlightened, and they're going to come running after these guys. What the fraud alert does is it forces the credit grantor to ask additional questions to verify the person's identity. For an example, I was on PayPal. I inadvertently hit the get PayPal credit. I think everybody's probably seen that button. And
it wasn't inadvertent. They set it up so you accidentally hit it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, you're in the middle of it. What the heck? I can always use yet another credit card, right?
Yeah, my wife, it's good. It's a good web thing because my wife didn't really know what it was. And you know, we went and she said yes. And then so I got a letter from PayPal saying, hey, someone tried to do this. Was this you? So that, you know, that's what before they granted the credit, they sent a letter to the address that they had for me. So that's what a fraud alert does. It forces credit grantors to go out proactively, seek you out before they grant credit, because it's a red flag on your file, essentially. And to them, they comply because it's a risky transaction.
Yeah. And then if they do grant credit, right, Heather, what happens if they do grant credit then it's all on them, and they just don't do it as a general rule, do they?
Well, you know, the problem is with the credit monitoring is that it's reactionary at best. You know, it's like virus software. They can't protect you from a virus they don't know exists. So somebody has to get infected first, and then they figure out how to block it, and then you're protected. And that's what credit monitoring is. It's, you know, you're closing the barn door after the horses have gotten out. And so fraud alerts and being able to lock down your credit is a critical component in this, because when you can't generate a credit score, somebody cannot issue you credit, bottom line.
Right, Heather, we like to say, you know, the credit monitoring is, was this you? The fraud alert forces them to say, is this you?
Exactly. And it's totally different analytics involved. And I guess department stores especially, they will give anyone credit if you fog a mirror. I mean, I've seen people get arrested at the mall down the street from me for doing this. You know, at the Gardens Mall down the street from us in Palm Beach County here, there's just a steady stream of identity thieves being walked away from that place every week. And this is the kind of thing that just stops it dead in their tracks. And now with the internet, they don't even see you when you apply for a credit card. It's all done online. So really, if you don't have the credit freeze, they're going to get you eventually. I don't see any way of stopping it otherwise. I mean, really, is there a way, Heather?
It would be mighty difficult. You would have to have a lender that is so desperate to get their brand built that they'll just give anybody anything. I mean, because I can't imagine why, especially in the days of automated underwriting, you know, a computer makes the underwriting decision. A physical person doesn't see your documentation and review it for creditworthiness and evaluate the four layers of risk in underwriting. And so when a computer generates that, it generates it based on your credit score. And if we can't generate a credit score, then how are we going to issue credit?
Exactly. So it's all about the score, and no score, no credit. It's that simple. That's why you got to go to keepmyid.org. Hey, Heather, thanks so much for coming on. We want to find out more about you, your site, your show. Where do we go?
UnlockYourWealthRadio.com for the latest in any fraud alerts, scams, and things that jeopardize your identity.
All right. And Pat, your site again, keepmyid.org, best place to find you, right?
Absolutely, Kerry. Thanks.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.